Hi, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung. Welcome to Prophecy Today Weekend. This is 90 minutes of information that will assist you in understanding how current events around the world are setting the stage for the prophetic scenario found in God's Word. We're here at Broadcast Central, as I said, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Right after the broadcast, we're headed over to Raleigh, North Carolina, the Midway Baptist Church. Now, we've been going there for about 25 years, about every other year. Looking forward to being with Pastor Larry Upchurch and all of his fine people. Great church, large church, and boy, they have a great music program. Last time I was there, they sang City of God. Hope they're listening today, and we'll do that again for tomorrow. I love that song. Well, anyway, thank you for joining us. We've got a lot of our broadcast partners standing by. Jim Jr. is actually in Romania. Going to tell you what the plan in Romania for young people is as they put it in place and train the young people to go about this mission. Don't want to miss that conversation. David, James, and I will have another conversation about interfaith dialogue. Is that good, bad? Is it biblical? All of these broadcast partners coming to the table in just a moment. But right now, we go to the Washington, D.C. area. On the catbird seat, our good buddy Ken Timmerman. Now, he's been in France for a number of weeks. We talked with him when he was there. And by the way, I was asking him last week to report to us the geopolitical activities. He said, Jimmy, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'll be flying. I guess where he went. He went to Iraq. This man will go any place to get a story for us, and I so appreciate Ken Timmerman. Now, Ken, you have written an article, basically, around what you did this last week there as you visited in Iraq. It's in Front Page Magazine, but we'll have it on our homepage, prophecytoday.com. The title of the article, Red Lines in Syria. But it does not only deal with Syria, it deals with Turkey, it deals with Mosul, the Kurds, etc. Talk to me about the trip. How did this all work out, and what was the trip like while over there?
Well, I went to northern Iraq to take part in a conference with Kurds from Syria, Iran, Turkey, and Iraq. I was the only non-Kurdish person invited to the conference because of my long-standing ties with the Kurds. They were talking about Kurdish unity, eventually setting up a united Kurdish state across those four countries, but also they were talking about what's actually going on inside each part of Kurdistan. I had the opportunity, for example, to meet the co-president of the YPD. This is the Kurdish Democratic Union Party in northern Syria, an American ally. They are the Kurdish group that we are helping in northern Syria against ISIS. And she told me that they are desperate for more American help. They want a closer relationship. Kurds, by the way, from all four of these countries said the same thing. They want the United States to take a more active role in the region. And Kurds in Iraq, and here's a point for you, Jimmy, that I didn't mention in the article yet, because that's going to come out next week. But Kurds in Iraq, including people in the government, are asking the United States to establish military bases in Iraqi Kurdistan.
Wow. What an important update and breaking news from Ken Timmerman as it relates to his trip over there to northern Iraq. Now, talk to me about the Kurds were the major boots on the ground as far as the fight to overthrow Islamic State both in Syria and in Iraq. They were major, major components of the takedown of Islamic State in Mosul. Has Islamic State been eliminated from there? What do we know?
The Islamic State has pretty much been annihilated in Mosul, but so has Western Mosul. The people who visited there told me it looks like Hiroshima. It has been completely leveled. There's really not a single house left standing in Western Mosul, the old part of town. It was bombed into ruins, both by ISIS and by allied airstrikes and by the Iraqi army. But ISIS is gone. The war there is over for now, as everyone prepares for the next battles. The next battles will involve the so-called popular mobilization units. These are Iranian-backed Shiite militias in Iraq. They, by the way, now occupy part of the Christian Nineveh Plain. They've split it in two parts. There's a military border now that cuts the Nineveh Plain in two. The Kurds control the south the People's Mobilization Units, the Iranian-backed Shias, control the north. My sources were telling me they expect this to be a military conflict by the end of the summer between the Kurds and the Arabs.
I know Tayyip Erdogan does not like the Kurds at all, especially the PKK. What did you hear from the Kurds as it relates to Turkey?
Well, very important. Erdogan is a geopolitical player, and he's smart, he's ruthless, and he serves his own interests, not anyone else's. So he has essentially subrogated the Barzani family in Iraqi Kurdistan. The Barzanis, President Barzani of the Kurdish regional government, is a close ally of Turkey, as odd as that might sound to you. But Erdogan sees Barzani as somebody who can control the other Kurdish groups that are seeking independence or seeking some kind of confederation. So he's using Barzani as a puppet to actually restrain Kurdish national aspirations in an ironic twist. The Turks now have 18 military bases in Iraqi Kurdistan. This is unprecedented, something unheard of before. And again, I was being told on the ground that those bases where there's 6,000 Turkish soldiers are not being used in the fight against ISIS, but they're being used to prop up the Barzani regime in northern Iraq.
I got a report this week, and I want to see, Ken, what you may be able to confirm or not, that the Kurds are saying, and 99% sure, that Islamic leader al-Baghdadi is still alive. What did you hear on that?
Well, that's right, and this is from the Asayish, which is the Kurdish intelligence, but it's from the PUK side. That's the other half of Iraqi Kurdistan. Iraqi Kurdistan is basically split into two party states, one run by the Barzani family, the other run by the Talabani family. So this was a revelation by the Talabanis about their intelligence. They have very good intelligence. They said that the head of ISIS has been spotted outside of Raqqa. He is not in Raqqa itself. He is not on the front lines. He has kind of retreated to a safe distance where he can hide out like the coward that he is.
Talk to me about Russia, some of the things they're doing. For example, there is an abandoned village that's just north of the border between Israel and Syria. It's called Kenetra. You can see it as you travel up through the Golan Heights, and we do that on our tours. But it was abandoned in 67 by the Syrians to tell the world as a propaganda ploy that they are afraid that the Israelis would attack. It's not been the case since 1967, 50 years. But now Russians are moving troops in there. This is in defiance of what Israel would like to see happening. In fact, they're very much upset, and it's a part of that discussion that Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump had when they were there at the G20.
That's absolutely right. And at the G20 is when Putin and President Trump agreed to establish several ceasefire zones in Syria. One of them was along the Jordanian border. They did that last week. The second is in Kunetra area along the border with Israel. Now, here's the real big problem with this, Jimmy, and this is why the Israelis are so upset. The agreement stipulates, between U.S. and Russia, stipulates that Hezbollah and Iranian forces will withdraw from the areas involved in the ceasefire. But already along the Jordanian border, that hasn't happened. And now what Israel is seeing is that Russian troops are moving into the Kunetra area, but Hezbollah is also staying. So they are really very concerned that Hezbollah will be able to maintain a beachhead on Israel's border, but now be protected by Russian troops. This is a really enormous potential security threat for Israel. The prime minister has publicly warned about it. Prime Minister Netanyahu has publicly warned about it. They're very upset with the Russians over it. My guess is that we're going to be hearing about this more in public in the coming days and weeks.
Ken, every other sentence seems to have Turkey in it. I got to go back to Turkey and Tayyip Erdogan one more time. He is very interested in the city of Jerusalem, and with the conflict going on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem between the Palestinians and the Israeli Jews, he now, Tayyip Erdogan, is wanting to get involved in taking Jerusalem back for the Muslim world. What's that going to develop into?
Well, Turkey is supposed to be an ally of the United States, but they are not certainly not behaving like an ally. They are behaving like an Islamist state, which is what they are. And Erdogan has made the conquest of Jerusalem part of his election platform. He held meeting after meeting during his re-election campaign where he said, we are going to march on Jerusalem as Muslims. This man is not an American ally. He's an enemy of ours and of our allies on the ground. So he continues to proclaim that Muslims must take back Jerusalem. In these recent comments, he's urging Turks to visit the Temple Mount and the Al-Aqsa Mosque in masses, in droves, to overwhelm Israeli security and essentially to force Israel to withdraw from the Temple Mount. So Erdogan is not our friend, and he is an enemy of our ally Israel.
And that's exactly what Bible prophecy says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, verses 2 and 6. And that would be referring to Turkey, Meshech, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarma, the nation of Turkey today. Ken, thank you so very much for taking the trip. I wish I could have been with you to go there into northern Iraq. I've always wanted to go there, but you there and you taking me along because of the fact you report to us what did happen. Appreciate your insight, your input, and the report from your trip to modern-day Turkey and your trip to northern Iraq. Thank you so very much, my good friend. Hope to talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll have to talk about the plight of Iraqi Christians as well next week. God bless.
We'll certainly do that. Thank you so much, my good friend. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I have a Middle East news update for you. David Dolan standing by. It's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today Weekend.